Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Tonight's going to be amazing. I have my good friend, Apostle Alexander Pagani. How are you doing tonight, bro?
I'm excited, man. So much to talk about today. But here's the great thing is that we are in a season where I think all of us, you, me, Mike, all the Demon Slayers, book releases. So I'm excited about, for the body of Christ, what he's going to be doing and what God is doing through the ministry of the Demon Slayers. I'm excited.
Yeah, and dude, I would say what we're talking about tonight and deliverance and the deliverance movement, which I'm going to ask you a little bit about here in the beginning, is so relevant today. If you look at the world that we're living in, we massively need deliverance in the church. We massively need deliverance in the world. We massively need the deliverance ministry. I would say, and I know you guys always say this, more than ever, as times get darker, we need people to take a stand, to go out there and be warriors for the kingdom of God. And so you've been on since, okay, so just so you know, maybe you don't know this, we're on episode 183, for those of you that don't know in the chat, and you were on the first time episode 7. So you have been here since day one. I think we were like a month into the podcast when you first came on. So now we're 5 years later. So, hey, I wanted to say publicly, thanks for being my friend for the last, you know, six, 7 years, bro. We're still friends. There's no drama, no breakup. We've never had any beef. We're completely vegan here. So thank you, bro, 100%. for being friends with me for so long and continue to stay on. I value friendships like this. I value relationships that are eternal. I think we knew when we met each other, we were going to be friends forever. And so I really appreciate the friendship. I honor you. I value what you're doing for the kingdom. You are a general for deliverance. For those that don't know him, he's one of the pioneers, literally. And I'm not, guys, we don't toot each other's horn. This is all truth. This is all facts. You know this, but he's a pioneer for what we're doing. You know, our deliverance videos went viral on TikTok and YouTube, but even before I was doing deliverance, you were already doing it online years and years and years prior. Maybe people don't know that. So I just want to honor you and thank you for being a pioneer for deliverance and for the deliverance movement. And I'm excited about your new book coming out, my new book coming out. Vlad just had a new book come out, and Mike, all within, I think, 2 months, we all have books coming out. You guys have multiple books. I got one. It took me 13 years, but tonight we're going to be talking about your latest book. Now, is your latest book, there it is. Is it already out or is it coming out?
It's coming out October 1st, but I have all the author copies. So as I've been traveling in speaking engagements, I've been able to kind of give them out. So yeah, this is our third installment of the Secrets to Deliverance book series, The Secrets to Maintaining Your Deliverance. So I'm excited about talking about it because this is literally a different direction that we kind of had in our first two books. And I think this is probably needed in this time.
We need the training, the equipping that you've been doing with your books, the Secrets to Deliverance, Secrets to Generational Curses, now this book. We need more literature, more teaching, more training. People are unequipped, untrained, and so I'm so grateful that you've written that. And guys, by the way, I didn't know this until maybe an hour ago when I text you, Pagani, is that the presidential debates start the exact same time as the podcast. So
right now.
It is what it is. We're going to go for it regardless. We need deliverance of the presidential debates. You guys already know it's going to be a circus. We'll rewatch it later. But people will rewatch this on the replay. If you guys are wondering where all the people are, they're watching the debate. There was like over a million viewers on just one news channel on YouTube. I just saw. So anyways, but we're going to go regardless. I did want to start by asking you, for those that don't know, and you don't have to go like really long on this, but how you got into deliverance ministry. I'm always super interested on how people got involved with the casting out of demons. And for new people, every time we say the word deliverance tonight, we are talking about exorcism, the casting out of demons. We're not just talking about where, you know, God comes in your sleep and changes you. We're talking about literally what Jesus did all through the gospel. Right. So I'm interested in how you got started in deliverance, and then also how you got started posting videos and really putting deliverance online. Cause I think you were one of the, I think you and Bob Larson were the first people to start posting deliverance videos many, many years before I ever did. And so share a little bit about how you got involved in this ministry.
Well, I embraced deliverance already about maybe 12 years into our pastorate, you know? So I embraced deliverance while preaching against deliverance. You know, my theological training and biblical seminary upbringing didn't allow me to believe that a Christian can have a demon. But what happened was is that I was pastoring during what I would call the advent of modern technology, where cell phones were now given to the average church member. So during my time in the early days, pornography was something that you had to go to like Times Square or go to like a porn shop, you know, to be able to look at those things. But now when the average man was getting this, these things were now coming to the church. To the church membership. So the spiritual climate of our church changed in such a drastic manner that I began to inquire of the Lord, like, Lord, I have a thriving church. What am I doing wrong? Why is there such a heavy oppressiveness in our church? And it was because a lot of our men and women, they were beginning to deal with, you know, with lust and a lot of the stuff that comes with the bad side of social media, you know. And I said, Lord, how do I fix this? And he literally told me, deliverance. And when I heard that, I told him no. I did like Peter. Remember when God told Peter, he said, kill and eat. And he said, no, Lord, nothing unclean has touched my lips. I prayed something similar. I said, Lord, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. You know, so after about maybe another 2 to 3 more years of kind of contemplating that, I was blessed with what I call the gift of desperation. The gift of desperation means you get so desperate that your rigidity begins to break down. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know about this Christian can have a demon. All I know is that I want to help people, and I don't know, but I believe you're telling me to do this. You're going to have to show this to me in the scripture. And he began to show me things in the scripture about how, yes, a Christian can have a demon if and when they open the door to that level of demonic infiltration. So I entered into deliverance experimenting in the sense of, Lord, I allow love to motivate me, because I want to just understand, if your heart is not filled with love, then do not get into the deliverance ministry. You have to love, people through their mess. You know what I'm saying? So I entered in and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow this. And if this is of you, you're going to have to stop me. Well, here I am. Here I am, you know, 13 years later, never had in my mind that I would be one of the leading voices of deliverance. Now, here's what happened. Word spread in the Bronx that we were doing deliverance. And I tried to keep it secret because I myself didn't want to deal with the backlash of, you know, your deliverance church. So I told our members, don't tell nobody. But like the people in the Bible that get healed when Jesus says, don't tell nothing, what's the first thing they do in the next verse? They tell everybody. You know what I'm saying? So the advent of MySpace and Facebook first came around, and a prophet in our house. I can't take credit for this. It wasn't something like the Spirit of God told me to go on social media. I got a word from one of our house prophets who told me, Pastor, the word of the Lord for you is you need to record this and put this on social media. And I said, deliverance is personal. I don't want nobody in anybody's business. No, I'm not doing that. And she left and then turned back around and said, Pastor, I love you, but I disagree with you. I hear the word of the Lord saying you need to put this on social media. So I ended up recording a small clip of us casting out a demon during an altar call. And I literally uploaded it like this. You know when you close your eyes and you press upload? I went like this. Lord, please forgive me, Lord. I uploaded it. And I kid you not, when I woke up the next day, I had like maybe 2,000 to 3,000 shares. It went everywhere.
And this is before it was easy to go viral. This is way back in the day before everything was viral.
There was no such thing as viral. Social media was not incorporated into the culture of the church. It was more like just this other outlet. And word spread. And around that time, Apostle John Eckhart got wind of this guy in the Bronx doing deliverance. And he co-signed one video and he shared it on his massive platform about this guy in the Bronx and this church in the Bronx doing deliverance. He shared it. And after that, the rest is history. Next thing I know, our subscribers skyrocketed. And this was during the Periscope days. I don't know if you remember Periscope.
That was back in the day.
Back in the days. You know, and it just spread and it went viral. And next thing I know, every Christian major television network started calling me. And then I'm on a plane flying all over the world, teaching and training in deliverance. So all I did was pray and say, Lord, if this is what you have for me to do, you know, I'm willing to pay the price to help you usher in something that's going to help set the captives free. I'm willing to go for it. And we was able to pioneer it up until COVID. And then from there, the Holy Spirit multiplied all of that. Yeah. Now there's deliverance workers everywhere. Yeah,
and it's happening online. And there's a whole group of people, and I'm sure some of them are in the chat tonight, that say, oh, we shouldn't publicize or promote or post or show anybody being delivered or even let it happen publicly in a church. And my mind is Jesus calls the ministry of deliverance a miracle, right? The people come and say, there's these guys casting out demons. They're not part of our group. We're going to stop them. Jesus explicitly says, do not stop them. Okay. Don't stop them. Even though they're not part of our group, don't stop them. And then he says, no one that does miracles. So now right. He connects casting out of demons, which those of you asking deliverance, exorcism, it's all the same. The casting out of demons. Right. He labels it Jesus. Guys, the one you follow, the one we follow, our Lord and Savior, the person that we're Christians, we're called Christians as little versions of Christ, ambassadors of Christ. He says, deliverance is a miracle. Let them continue to do miracles. In fact, he wasn't shy about it. He did it in public. He never told people, oh, we got to be secret. He did these things in public. Philip in Acts 8 did these things in public. And if you read the book of Matthew, it says, and again, for those of you that don't know the Bible, this is going to sound blasphemous, but he says, let your light, doesn't say his light. Jesus says, let your light shine before men so they could see your works, your good deeds. And because of your works and good deeds, they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. So God tells us, don't hide what I'm doing. Don't hide the works I'm doing through your life. But Jesus says they're your works and it's your light. Because here's why, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So he keeps using us as we're the light, we're the salt, we have good works. And so I love that you're posting, you're sharing, and me and you are very careful to keep people's dignity. You're one of the first guys I saw blurring people's faces, which is something I think is a great idea. And not making it a show, not making deliverance a show, but letting people know that this is real. People need to be set free. We just have that new movie on Netflix that's completely demonic. Somebody commented on my post saying, they're watching the movie with their boyfriend and he started speaking in a demonic language, a demonic tongue. And as he's watching, bro, he's manifesting demons and they called the church and the church members came and did deliverance on him. So this just was happening a couple days ago. So we're seeing that in the world right now. And the world is even intrigued. So I tell people, don't watch the movie. It's a horror movie, but I'm glad people are talking about it. I'm glad deliverance is a conversation. I'm glad Hollywood, even though they don't understand it fully, they're at least talking about it. And so we're able to tell people, this is real. This is happening. And you guys are all called to set the captives free. You're all called to do deliverance ministry. But what your book is about is so significant. It's not just about getting free and going from deliverance to deliverance to deliverance, but it's what the title of the book is, maintaining your deliverance. Like I want to, and I'm preaching myself here. I'm saying literally me, I want to stay free. I want to get free and stay free. I don't want to live my life continuing to reopen the doors. I want to walk in a lifestyle of freedom. So there's maintenance that needs to be done. There's making sure doors are closed, making sure there's certain things. And in your book, you don't just talk about keeping the doors closed, but you talk about some deliverance idolatry and some pitfalls, and you call we're part of deliverance ministries. You call out some of the bad in deliverance ministry, like any ministry. Yeah. There's abuses, there's negative things, there's things excesses. We shouldn't do, excesses. Right. So talk a little bit about that in your book where you go into deliverance idolatry, how that term applies and how does deliverance idolatry, and I'm quoting it from the book, how does that manifest in like deliverance ministry today?
Well, the first thing I would say is that there could be idolatry in any ministry in the church. So I wasn't like literally singling out deliverance ministry. But what happens is because the deliverance ministry is relatively new in reawakening in the body of Christ, always in the beginning, there's going to be some excesses, some superstition, some misappropriation, some misdiagnosis. And I think we're so great and we spent so much time pioneering it, we haven't fine-tuned it. You know, so what happens is you and I know what we're doing because we've done and you have done it. We've done thousands of deliverances, one-on-ones and mass deliverance. So we already know how to move in it. But those that listen to us, they're not in the same place that we're in. So they're coming in. And because we haven't thoroughly explained them to them, the do's and don'ts, because we've been telling them, let's just be honest, go and do it. Go and do it. Yeah. Go and do it. Go and do it. You know, and we haven't literally said, well, here's some of the things that will make you outlast, you know, and not be one of those that become a casualty of war. I felt that it was necessary, at least in this current movement of, let's just say, Demon Slayer movement, you know, and everyone knows that that was just a term of endearment on a text message. Like, there's no such thing. We're all called to cast out demons.
That's good.
I felt that, you know what? All four of us have already, you know, pioneered the awakening of there's a need for the Ministry of Deliverance. Now, because we've awakened it in everybody, now we have to navigate the body of Christ through it so that way this doesn't die out when you and I, the Lord, calls us home. So I said, Lord, how can we do this, you know, so that way there isn't a demonic consciousness more than Christ consciousness, which means where we're dwelling more on the efficacy of Christ's work on the cross and placing the high value on the sufficiency of Scripture and being rooted in the true vine as opposed to spending all of our times fighting the darkness. Deliverance is not fighting the darkness, Isaiah. It is turning on the light. The Bible says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So when we dwell in the light, that is preventative maintenance for deliverance. That is submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. When we're doing the opposite of that, what you have is deliverance idolatry. Deliverance idolatry is nothing more than over-blaming the devil, what could be the flesh, what could be irresponsibility, what could be, you know, life, what could be coincidence, and just saying everything is of a demonic origin. Now, yes, obviously there's a lot that's of demonic origin, but I think it would be safe to say we, and I think many people need to hear us say this more, we're not deliverance junkies. We provide a balanced view of deliverance. What we're trying to do is, when it is a demon, let's call it a demon and let's cast it out. So that's what we've been pushing. But what I'm seeing now is, as we watch this new group of demon slayers rise up and do what God called them to do, I'm also seeing the excesses and the immaturities that I go, oh, that's not how we do that. That's not what we're saying. Oh, they're misunderstanding what we're saying. So I said, Lord, how could I sandwich this into a book, but at the same time not deactivate them? And not deactivate them and lose the desire where it's like I'm killing the desire, but rather, so God said, just write a book on how to maintain their deliverance. So that way, watch this, they don't have to go up to every altar call to get another deliverance. And then, because let's just be honest, Isaiah, how many times do the same people go to all of our events, the same person, you know, and then they get caught on video, and then someone takes that video and said, this same person is going to all of their events, and then they accuse them of, we're hiring actors. You know, and I'm like, no, we're not hiring actors. It's just the same person is just going to all of our events in different parts of the country seeking some sort of deliverance, you know, and then we're getting, you know, mislabeled as, you know, that we're running a deliverance circus. So I said, you know what, this is not healthy. So that's what I had in mind to be able to clean up. And I think that this probably would be my best work yet for the moment. And I think people are going to be shocked a little bit at the direction that I'm going. It's more of a cleanup, but not a deactivation.
And I'm glad you said that, because we don't want to discourage people. We need everybody to do more. We all need to be doing more. But at the same time, a good father brings correction, and God chastises them that he loves. He corrects us. And I do see this a lot. When you first get involved in deliverance, you get hyper obsessed, and that's part of the early days of deliverance. You get hyper excited about it, and everything's a demon, everything's demonic, but that's fine in the beginning. But you gotta realize not everything's a demon, and some things take discipline, right? So we might use deliverance as an excuse not to live a disciplined lifestyle. And when we blame everything on a demon and not our own flesh or our own discipline, then we can fall into error. Cause sometimes it's not that I need to go through deliverance to deliverance, deliverance. Sometimes it's, hey, I haven't read my Bible. Hey, I haven't prayed.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not fasting. Hey, I'm sleeping in all day. Hey, I'm staying up super, super late. And I'm hyper obsessed when God's like, hey, you need to have discipline in your life. You need to eat right. You need to sleep. Be on a good schedule. So we got to be careful that we're not blaming everything on a demon. Not everything's a demon. Right. Not everything's the devil. Right. A lot of stuff is, but I like what you said. That we don't want to make deliverance an idolatry to where now our idol is no longer, our God is no longer Jesus, but our God is deliverance, right? It's easy to make an idol out of anything.
Right.
Look at the Pharisees. They made idols out of traditions. They made idols out of the Bible. They worship the Bible, but not the author. And they didn't even recognize the author when he showed up in front of them. So it's easy to make religion an idol. And we have to be careful that we don't make deliverance an idol. And guys, we're saying this from two people that have done so much to teach and train. We have hundreds of hours of deliverance training. We love deliverance. We have deliverance maps. We have deliverance churches. We do deliverance at our church. We love it. So we have the authority to say this. Guys that don't do deliverance aren't allowed to say what we're saying. But we have we are people that love seeing people get free, but we also want to make sure that Christ is the focal point. Christ is the focus when it comes to deliverance ministry.
You know, look at this. And also, you know, my heart is to make sure that at the end, you know, when, you know, years go by and we've all of us and as well as our viewers have pioneered this deliverance movement, that they're not saying that we are preaching the gospel of deliverance.
It's good.
We're not preaching the gospel of deliverance. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we're motivating people that the supernatural aspect of the preaching of the gospel, where the Bible says, in my name, you will cast out demons, that does not get ignored with just preaching the message of salvation. Of course, the main message of the gospel, that the disciples were not running around the then known world preaching, you know, Christians can have demons. No, they were preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. But what you do find in almost every chapter is demons came out screaming. Yep. You know what I'm saying? What we find now in a lot of the Christian, in Christendom in the U.S. is a lot of preaching about Jesus, but no demonic entities being cast out. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So now we have the church in its present state that it's in. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that this is not excluded from the preaching of the gospel, but we're not substituting the gospel for this message. And I think that that's lately, at least you and I and others, they think that we're preaching the gospel of deliverance. We are not preaching the gospel of deliverance. We're preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Just we're motivating people that when the devil rears his ugly head, don't try to counsel it out. Cast it out. Cast it out. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bible says Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. And so a lot of people are going around all talking about, hey, invite Jesus in your heart. When Jesus preached, he confronted the works of darkness and dealt with the devil. This is what we need in this generation. Guys, let's deal with the devil. Let's stop just talking about him. Let's stop just arguing about him. Let's stop, you know, he's weak. Stop saying he's weak. Let's deal with him. Let's take authority over him and actually do something, and that is the casting out of demons. And in your book, you talk about the armor of light. Now, we know that the war that we're in is not a natural war. It's not a physical war. It's not a tangible war. But right now, there's lots of us on this broadcast. We all are in a battle, in a spiritual battle. It doesn't matter if you like it. Doesn't matter if you don't like it. We are in a battle between light and dark. There's an unseen realm. The Bible calls it an invisible world that is all around us as we speak, as we're live, and every single day we're in this battle, and we've been given weapons. We've been given tools. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They're spiritual weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. And you talk about the armor of light. Break that down a little bit, how we could practically apply that when walking and maintaining our deliverance.
Okay, so watch this. I know there's a heavy emphasis on Ephesians chapter 6 that talks about the armor of God, but the book of Romans actually breaks down to us the DNA of that particular armor. Now, we know it's symbolic, it's metaphoric, but in the book of Romans, it actually says, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, why is this important? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. Why? Deliverance is not a power encounter. It's a truth encounter. So when we put on the armor of God, what we're doing is we're putting on the word of God. So what am I saying? What happens is in Isaiah, and you know, we can go right into correcting and maybe tweaking this a little bit. A lot of the deliverance movement is very sensational, superstitious, and there isn't an emphasis on scripture as much as on they do with the experience. Now, we don't want to excommunicate the experience because you have to, they're both married together. But the emphasis for the Christian from the Old Testament to the New is an emphasis on the word, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. See what I'm saying? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But here's what's interesting. John chapter 1 says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. So here's what happens. When a believer is placing a high emphasis on the word, meditating on the word, reading the word, praying the word, and daily confessions of scripture, declaring the promises of God, that is putting on the armor of light. That is putting on the armor of God. When we do this, what? Very simple. The demons of the darkness can't comprehend you. They can't attack you. They can't penetrate you. Why? Because you're dwelling in the light. 1 John chapter 1 says, God is light. In him there is no darkness. Therefore, you're also putting on Christ himself in intimacy and dwelling in him. And what you're going to do is you're going to find that you're going to be by default submitting to God, resisting the devil by default, and the devil will do more fleeing from you than you will be doing binding. The Christian experience is not all day, I bind this and I bind that and I bind this. And amen. We gonna bind when we need to bind. But then if the devil can keep you binding, you won't be praising. You won't be preaching. You won't be pressing. Because all you will be doing is dwelling in the darkness. And you can't fight darkness with darkness. You fight darkness with turning on the light. So this is why I really emphasize in my third book, the idea of diving back into the word. And you and I both know that Christians have a hard time with daily Bible reading, meditating on the word. So what I'm really trying to push is this is our reasonable service. Get in that Bible, meditate it, quote it, listen to it. Watch this. Sometimes I can't even read my Bible, but you know what I have in my car, and I'm sure you probably have it. I have an audio Bible car. So I just put the audio Bible and I sit there and I could go through the whole book of Ezekiel on my way to church. What am I doing? I'm putting on the armor of light. And while I'm dwelling in that light, then I won't be spending more time saying, this Satan, I bind you. Get out of my mind. Satan, I release. They'll be like, Father, I thank you that my mind is steadfast in thee, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, that I have the mind of Christ. And by that time, what you're doing is you're dwelling in the true vine and you end up bearing fruit.
So good. I don't think people realize our greatest weapon against the devil is the scripture. I mean, think about Jesus in the wilderness. The devil comes. This is the devil. This is not like a low-ranking demon or principality. You're head-to-head with the devil, and Jesus decides not just to take authority over the devil, not to use his authority, not to use his power. He fights the devil using the word of God, which is interesting because me and you are not divine in the way Jesus is divine. We don't walk in that same authority that Jesus walked in as God in the flesh. Yet Jesus says, I'm going to use something that you have access to. And that is what is written in the scripture, what is written in the word of God. And he fights the devil directly with the word of God. I mean, imagine the devil showing up. Probably won't happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But imagine the devil showing up to you tonight and you go, what am I going to fight him with? I'm going to fight him with the word of God. But a lot of us are literate when it comes to scripture. We're literate when it comes to the word of God. So we go to say it is written. And then we go, actually, I don't know what is written. Hold on, Satan. Let me get Google out really quick. I mean, imagine Satan standing there and you're Googling. I do this when I study. I'm like, give me all the verses in the Bible about fighting Satan, right? And
then
Bible Gateway. I mean, you're not going to have time to get Bible Gateway and look up all the scriptures, Satan. Just give me a moment. You have to be ready to not say Google says, you know, Google 316, but saying, no, I know what the scripture says. It is written, and then speaking the word of God, if Jesus used the scripture, and I love that your book talks about using scripture to maintain your deliverance, if Jesus used scripture, it's good enough for us. That means there is, for lack of a better term, atomic nuclear power in the word of God. Ooh. When you speak forth the word of God, there is unlimited power, unlimited authority. And Jesus didn't even say, like, in Jesus' name, I bind you to the devil. He didn't even say, I take authority over you, Satan. He said, it is written. It is written. The devil would come and pervert the word, and then Jesus would come and correct him with the actual interpretation of what the word meant. So we need that in our shepherd's bag. We need that weapon, and that's the word of God. And the only way to have the weapon is to know the scripture, as you just said, is to put on the armor of light. And I'm guilty of this as well. I was thinking last week, I need to memorize more scripture because I know a lot of verses, but a lot of times I'm like, wait, is that in Romans 4? Is that in John? And I have to remember where it's at. And I was thinking the other day, like, man, if I had no iPhone, and just being honest, and if I had no, you know, Bible Gateway, if I had no Blue Letter, if I had no logo software, I don't even know if I know where a lot of these scriptures are, because I've leaned on technology and I need to get back to, and this is a challenge for all of us though, is to get back to memorizing the word so that I could be on my feet. Cause you never know when the devil, when his demons are going to come knocking, and I have to stay ready. So I don't have to get ready whenever the devil comes.
You know what, you know, you know, what, you know what's in, what's interesting is that I wrote this third book while being convicted while I was writing it, because I was like, man, I gotta obey my own, you know, admonishment. You know, one thing that I have found is that when you begin to meditate on the word and you place a high value on scripture and also a high value on prayer, and we'll kind of flesh this out a little bit more, because it's not just reading the word, it's also prayer and fasting and a couple of other things, which is what we should be doing normally as a Christian. What I have found in, if the devil could keep you busy screaming at the darkness, then our Christian experience will be tiresome, because we're always fighting. It's like we're always fighting. And I think what happens is because we haven't explained this a little bit more, I think there's been a lot of casualties of in the deliverance ministry, the people, they get worn out, they get exhausted, and then they defect from the Christian the deliverance ministry, and then they defect to other camps, and they were like, man, this never ends, I'm just tired of fighting, it's just like there's no rest. When we know the Bible says, come unto me that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But rest in what? We're resting in the promises of God. We're resting in scripture. We're resting in the true vine. This is what happens. That's how you maintain your deliverance. Maintaining your deliverance is not just getting multiple deliverance sessions. And yes, I would encourage you, get multiple deliverance sessions. Even me and Isaiah and the demons, we're always talking about, we need deliverance ourselves, and sometimes, you know? But what we're saying is that there is preventative deliverance in scripture by meditating on the word and a couple of other things that we're going to talk about today. So I just said, you know what? If they don't know this, we can't expect them to live it. You and I know this, Isaiah. So we know when we're running low on oil, we know that we need to get back in prayer. Or we know when we're dealing with something and something is agitating us. And we've done this with you and I. We'll text each other and say, man, I need some deliverance, man. Can you pray for me? Maybe they don't know this. So what we find is a lot of casualties of war in the deliverance ministry. And I'm really hoping that this book will provide, you know, a life preserver and a life jacket to just throw it to someone who might be drowning, saying, this is just too much. I'm drowning out here. And you're really drowning. You're really drowning because you skipped swim class.
Yeah.
You skipped swim class, and we haven't taught you. So this is what we're doing. So let's flesh this out even more.
I would say this, deliverance is massively needed in the leadership in the body of Christ. Guys, I don't want to mention names because it's a disgrace to what's happening right now, where all these mega church pastors, and not just mega church, mini church, but mega leaders that have been 30, 40 years with these secret sins, these demons in their closet. But here's what I was thinking when I was going through a list of all the guys in the last, let's say, 2 years that have fallen to sexual immorality, a bunch of stuff. I don't want to go to name it because it's shameful. But all the stuff they've fallen into, out of like the last 10 guys that were major leaders that stumbled or fell or all, I think only one of them was actually into deliverance ministry. The other 9 that I looked at did not do deliverance. Look at this. Did not believe that Christians could have demons. Out of the last 10 leaders I know that fell, only one of the last 10 believed in deliverance for Christians. So you think about it, so many of these pastors, they need deliverance. These leaders, they need to go through deliverance. Like, you have all of these leaders cheating on their wives, doing despicable things. Well, meanwhile, they're teaching that deliverance isn't needed. To me, guys, and I'm just going to say it, these leaders falling is proof that Christians need deliverance. These leaders falling is proof that leaders need deliverance. Leaders need to go. And so let's stop making it a bad thing for leaders to go through deliverance. You should be glad that your pastor gets free. You should be, if your pastor gets on stage on Sunday and says, man, I had people over to pray for me on Saturday night and I got delivered from a bunch of stuff I didn't even know was there, you ought to be glad. You should be excited going, I want my pastor free. I want my pastor delivered. I want him delivered rather than, or I could see him in 5 years on some tabloid, on some TMZ, because he went off and did some crazy stuff, or they found out he was doing crazy stuff. So let's normalize, deliverance in the body of Christ and in leaders. And you also talk about something super interesting in your book. I've always been fascinated with what Jesus says in Matthew 12, that demons call us their home, that demons live inside of people. And you talk about how the human body is compared to Solomon's temple. I think you're the only person I've ever heard talk about this. Can you explain, for those that aren't familiar, the correlation you draw between the human body and Solomon's temple when it comes to maintaining your deliverance in this book you've written?
Well, the idea of the human body and its parallel to Solomon's temple is sprinkled throughout all of my three books, but I reemphasize it on my third book. The initial question I had was this, Isaiah. Where does Legion go when it inhabits a human soul? We're talking about, let's say, 2,000 demons, and it's just one person. Like, where do those, all of those entities go inside a person? So I began a quest of saying, like, Lord, I'm, can you just show me a little bit, you know, what's going on? And I began to notice, it first came to me through Noah's Ark and the unclean animals in Noah's Ark, though the Ark was protected by God, but it had unclean animals. I was like, that's very interesting, you know, unclean animals, unclean spirits, you know. But then I find the parallel of what Jesus said when he said, destroy this body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days raise it up.
Yeah.
The next verse says, when he said temple, he meant his body. Now, he's obviously, there's a hyperbole there. There's a symbolism there, metaphor there. But when I heard that, I said, temple means body. And then we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So obviously, I believe in the trichotomy of man, spirit, soul, and body. But obviously, the immaterial and the material, spirit, soul, human body. So then I was reading Solomon's temple one day, and I saw that, you know, that outer court, holy place, most holy place. We've all, as charismatics, have paralleled that to the human body, the body, soul, spirit. But then I read a part where it says Solomon created these side rooms. It says the complex of rooms in each floor. And the book of Ezekiel started talking about what was going on in each of those rooms and God beginning to condemn. Remember when God said to Ezekiel, dig in a hole in the wall, and he showed him a room in the temple. And he said, son of man, see what they're doing in that room. And right there, I begin to say, the Holy Spirit said, these are the areas of the soul where demon spirits hide when a believer opens the door, either through willful sin, ignorance, and all of that stuff. So I begin to parallel that. And then if you parallel that with the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, where Nehemiah comes and he makes a declaration, purge the rooms and throw out all of the satanic images in the rooms. It just hit me. I said, obviously, our spirit, a Christian can't be demon-possessed. Their spirit is intact. The Holy of Holies is intact. But these side rooms need purging. These side rooms need purging. The symbolism. Of course, our soul needs purging. Our perception needs purging. Our emotions need purging. Our will needs purging. All of that. How did this happen? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So from there, it opened up a whole other door, and I barely scratched the surface. Now, let me just say this before people think that I'm making a doctrine on eisegesis. I'm exploring. It alludes to that. I'm not saying that what I'm saying, that a man has 93 rooms like Solomon's temple. But I do know that the spirit of infirmity was lodging in a back, in the body part of a woman that was hunched over. This lets me know that when a believer opens a door, potentially demons can lodge in areas of their soul where they need deliverance from. So that's kind of like what I talk about, and I kind of really break it down. But I also say in the book that I'm not saying that what I'm saying is absolute, but I think I'm onto something, and it's safe to say that this is plausible. Because we've also, you and I have seen the deliverances that we've done. I remember you doing a deliverance of someone who had a bird. You know, they were afraid of birds. I remember that. And I was like, wow, look at this. So I really deal with this extensively in our book, in all three books, but specifically my third book. So I kind of go deep into it.
That's good. And I think we have to realize none of us know it all. This is incredibly mysterious, the way a demon can hide in a body part. I've had demons tell me I'm in their vocal cords. I'm in their womb. Right. I'm in their ankle. I'm in their shoulder. And in the human mind, I'm like, how could a demon be in a body part? How could it be in an ankle? How could it be in a vocal cord? But I'm limited. I'm finite. I don't understand the complexities of the spiritual realm. And we just have to say, these are great mysteries. These are great mysteries, and these things we're uncovering, we're learning, there's revelation. That's what you talk about in your book, is like these things are being uncovered and we're discovering, but we're not making these doctrines saying this is absolute Bible truth. We're saying, could it be that in the same way Jesus likens us to a temple, that in the same way the temple had multiple rooms, we as people can have multiple rooms, and it could be even more complex than that, you know? But these are very interesting things that I love that you talk about. But I do want to say this, because you talk about in your book, and this is close to my heart, the how do I say it this way? The importance of holiness in maintaining your deliverance. This is a word that's not said often in the American church. Now, if you guys follow us, you hear the word holiness a lot. We're holiness preachers.
All the time.
We always talk about holiness, separating yourself. If you don't know what holiness means, it means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to be separated. It means to be unlike everything else. When it says God is holy, there is nobody like him. He's in his own category. And when God calls us to be holy, it's to be set apart. How does holiness play into maintaining your deliverance and walking in freedom? Because we all want to maintain that deliverance and not just get free, but stay free.
Well, very simple. Paul said, present your bodies. Notice that he didn't say present your spirit or your soul as a living sacrifice. Mm. Let me say that again. Paul said, I implore you by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Then he went on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he said this, rid yourself from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit by casting off the works of darkness. Watch this. It doesn't say the works of the flesh. Oh, the works of the flesh, that is a separate category. But then there is also the works of darkness that affect what? That affect your body. Watch this. Luke chapter 11 also says the lamp of the body is the eye. And it says if the eye be evil, the body will be full of darkness. Mm. Again, notice how it doesn't say the spirit will be full of darkness. Then it says this, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. So then the text is actually saying, plain and simple, when a believer doesn't walk in holiness as a son of God, according to be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, by default, they are opening themselves not just to the works of the flesh, but the works of darkness, the works of darkness. And it will affect, watch this, their body, therefore causing them to walk in more non-holiness. And once you start walking in true holiness, now the disciplining hand of the Lord comes and the restraining force of the Holy Spirit has to back off. Because you've opened the door. You've opened the door. Like, Holy Spirit will protect me. Yes, of course he will protect you. But if you willingly open that door, what do you expect is going to happen? Paul talked about it. Do not give an opportunity or an open door to the devil. That is something you and I have to do through the help of the Holy Spirit. And all of this gets eliminated, Isaiah, and which is why I think you, myself, and a couple, Jeremiah Johnson, a couple others, I think we are the last of a dying breed of fire and brimstone preachers. Preach holiness or hell. We don't tolerate that. Let me tell you something. The first time that I ever met Isaiah, this is a true story. I met him at Jeremiah Johnson's church. You remember that day? I'm one of the guest speakers, and Jeremiah Johnson is one of the guest speakers. It's his church. Isaiah preached such a fire and brimstone message of repentance that me and Jeremiah Johnson looked at each other, and we were the first ones at the altar call asking Jesus to be our Savior, just in case, because we felt so. I love holiness. Why? Because the Bible calls it worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So holiness is beautiful. So when a believer is not walking in holiness, they by default, they're opening the door to the devil. I emphasize that a lot in this book. There's a lot of time dedicated to believers walking in true sanctification and true holiness.
That's so good. And you know, the Bible says that without faith, you can't please God, but without holiness, you can't see God. And I wonder how many Christians are pleasing to the Lord, but will never get a chance to see the Lord. Holiness is important, and it's not automatic. This is the thing. Righteousness, which is to be in right standing with God, is automatic. You are righteous because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, but holiness is something you participate in. That's why the Bible says, be holy. It doesn't say you are holy. It says, be holy as Christ is holy. So you have to make a choice. I'm going to be this. I'm not this, but I'm going to choose the path of holiness. I'm going to choose to travel on the highway of holiness, which the highway of holiness is the narrow road. It's walking on the narrow road. It's when everybody else is going this way, I'm going this way because I'm choosing holiness. And this is something where we need to talk about when it comes to, is it okay to drink? Is it okay to smoke? Is it okay to get tattoos? Is it okay? All the questions we have, let's change the narrative to, is it holy? Is it holy? Right. Is it set apart? Holiness and worldliness are the opposite. Worldliness is what everybody else is doing. Holiness is what nobody else is doing. And so when you become a Christian, you say, I want to go on the road less traveled, and it's going to cost me. People are going to make fun of me, laugh at me, and it might not even be sin, the things that I don't want to do, but I want to be holy. And this is right. what they would do in the New Testament. They would separate someone unto God, meaning you're not allowed to do what everybody else. Well, everybody else is going to go see that movie. Yeah, but they're not holy. You are. So do right. you want to be holy or not? Because the Bible says there's wooden vessels, there's golden vessels. You could be like everybody else. You can go down the right. same stream as all of them. Or you can say, Lord, I want to be set apart for your purposes. And when the Lord, think about this, guys, decides to do something in the earth, what right. vessel does he choose? Paul says he does not choose the wooden vessels for common use. He chooses the golden vessel. So when the Lord says, I want to do something special in California, he looks down and says, who's holy? Who's set apart? There's millions of Christians, Ooh. But who's walking on the narrow road? And then the Lord narrows that down, searches the earth and says, I'm going to use this guy or this girl because they've chosen to set their life apart. And we need right. to do that. We're arguing, is it sin to watch it? It's like, hey, you're probably not going to go to hell for watching that, but it's not holy, and you're going to lose the holiness in your life. And right. the Lord is attracted to holiness. The Holy Spirit is holy. That's why when David sinned with Bathsheba, the first thing he says is, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because he recognizes I'm living unholy and the Holy Spirit is holy and he's attracted to holiness and I'm going to grieve him. The Bible says you can grieve him by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. He's like, oh, I don't really want to be around you. I'm grieved. So holiness attracts him. Worldliness grieves him. So if you don't want the Holy Spirit around you, just keep living worldly. If you don't want the power right. of the Holy, just keep living how you're living. Don't argue with us. Just say, but if you want to see the supernatural in your life, if you want to be a magnet to the supernatural realm, walk in what you call absolute holiness, walk in the Spirit of God, yep. and you're going to see the supernatural just constantly in your life. And go ahead.
You know, what's interesting is this, and maybe, so now we're going to get real deep when it comes to this, you know, in this conversation, I love this is, you know, the demons, you know, and maybe your viewers don't know this, but the common knowledge is the kingdom of darkness could care less about anything else with the exception of your sanctification level. Mm. When you confront the demon, they're looking for that sanctification level. They're not looking for how many demons you cast out or how bold you are and how, you know, pioneering you are. No, your rank is increased by the level of consecration of what you give up to be able to remain sanctified. And I know Isaiah prays this prayer because I prayed this all the time. We all have friends of people that were once, you know, doing things great for the Lord, and they've fallen off because they've yeah. opened the door to the devil. Yeah. My prayer has always been, Lord, I don't want to be that. Lord, I yeah. don't want to be that. Please don't make me that. Whatever you got to do, Lord, keep me in the realm of that. If I think you don't like it, I'm not doing it. Even if it's permissible that I can do it, if I think he might not like it, I say, you know what, Lord, even though other Christians can do it, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I want to make sure that I'm doing that which is pleasing in your sight. And one thing I know that demons respect is your consecration. What's funny is you could be imperfect in how you do a deliverance session, but if your sanctification is connected and leaning in Christ, you could be fumbling with your words and the demons still have to obey you because they know you're connected to the vine. They know you're connected to the vine.
I thought about when you're saying that when Jesus said the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. What gave right. Jesus? There's a lot of reasons, but I'll just say one of the reasons Jesus had incredible authority over demonic spirits is him. He had nothing in common with them. So when you have stuff in common with demons in some weird way, they know it and you have no authority over what you have in common with. So if you're entertained by demons, don't expect to take authority over them because you have too much in common with them. What gives you supernatural authority, as Pagani's saying so good here, is that you and me, when you look at the demon and say, me and you, buddy, we have nothing in common. I'm casting out lust because I'm not entertained by it. It's that spirit right. isn't in me. That spirit of rage right. isn't in me, so I'm going to cast it out. The more you have in common with darkness, the less authority you have over them because they're like, bro, how are you going to command me to go when we were hanging out last night? How are you going to kick out Jezebel when you had her over for dinner last night? You're telling her to leave, And you're telling the spirit of confusion to leave, and the spirit of confusion's like, I thought you wanted me here. You watch demonic movies and sexual things all day, and then you go to meet for deliverance, and you're trying to cast a demon out when you've been entertained by the same demon you're trying to cast out. The demon's like, I thought you wanted me here. We invite right. demons Come and on. Then get mad when they show up. So don't open doors. Shut the doors. That's holiness. Shutting every door. I'm making sure. Now, I already told you, I sent you a list of questions, but I already told you we're going to get through three, and we're already an hour in. But here's what I want to talk about. Good. I want to talk about preventative maintenance, and then I want to talk about, well, this is all one question. What are some things we can do to make sure that the doors don't reopen, right? That's the goal. That's what the book's part of it is about, is maintaining freedom. This is something, and guys, I want you to remember, we're not detached from what we're preaching about. We're walking in this. We're believing for this. We're asking the Lord. I prayed last night, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Is there anything in my life that offends you? Search my heart. I pray that every day. So we're not preaching at you. We're preaching with you. And what we're telling you about, doors staying closed, making sure there's no, we're walking and practicing these things and saying, Lord, we don't want to be a statistic. Paul says, teachers, preachers, pastors, fill in the blank. You should not want to be one, because you will receive the harshest judgment. We're going to be judged more than you on judgment day. So if anything, we need to walk in what we're preaching. We need to make sure that the doors stay closed. Demons enter in, if you don't know, through open doors. Now that you're delivered, now that you're set free, how do I make sure that those doors don't stay open, don't reopen, and I could maintain that deliverance? Talk to us a little bit about that before we pray.
Yeah, so let me give you at least three areas. Number one, and I'm going to, for those of you that are watching, I deal extensively a little bit more deeper in my book, but guard your spirit. Now, the Bible says, filthiness of the spirit. We spend more time guarding our mind, guarding our soul, but we don't guard our spirit, and our spirit is where our discernment is. Sometimes we're so busy casting down imaginations, and amen, we have to do that. But sometimes your spirit will foresee something coming an hour or two before it comes, and your spirit is giving you an indicator, be careful today, I need you to spend time in prayer, something is coming. So that way, by the time it comes, you're ready. God is saying, pay more attention to your, when God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to your spirit, where he's giving you perception. This is why you can perceive, you can wake up in the morning and you can perceive, okay, something's coming today. And the Holy Spirit said, I need you to pray intensely. And you go right to work and all hell is breaking loose, but you're at peace because you didn't get caught by surprise. So number one is learn to develop listening to your spirit when the Holy Spirit is talking to your spirit, giving you red flags and telling you, like, let me give you an example. Like, let's say we watch movies, but sometimes we watch movies, but not bad movies. Even a good movie can turn bad in a split of a second. Watch this. The devil gives himself away when something bad is coming because the music in the movie changes. Mm. You hear the music change. Once that happens sometimes, I know immediately. Pause. Forward. See how that works? Because my spirit starts feeling funny. I start learning to listen to my spirit. The second thing is maintain your body. What does that mean? Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, gouge it out. It doesn't mean cut out your eye. It doesn't mean cut out your hand. It means learn, and you could take this for whatever you want to take it, guys. As a Christian, I don't mind living like a Christian hermit. There's certain things I just don't want in my house. I don't want that around me. I don't want that in my car. I don't want it. Call me boring. Call me religious. Call me legalistic. No, I am protecting my eyes. I'm protecting my ears. I just don't want that thing around me. And that's what Jesus said. If the thing is going to cause your eye to sin, then I'm going to go to extreme measures to maintain my body. Why? Because the book of Ecclesiastes says the eye never gets tired of seeing. So if I know the eye never gets tired of seeing, I am not going to put myself in a predicament where my eye is going to look after lust. So I'm going to be like, I don't care what you say. I'm not going there because I know me and I know that my eyes are going to wander. So I'm going to cut it off at the root. And for too long, we do this. I'm not religious. I'm really strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No, if David can fail, you might fall. Sometimes you need to say, I'm not going there. If Joseph had to run, you need to run as well. So these are some of the things that I feel that would be preventative maintenance for us, but we fail miserably in it when it's outlined all throughout the scripture. Guard yourself here. Watch yourself here. Do this. Another thing that I think is preventative maintenance is this, and I'll end with this, is learning, and I dedicated a whole chapter on this in the end. Learn to walk not just in the fruit of the Spirit, but in the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes. Most Christians, we're so busy walking in the fruit of the Spirit, amen, that we don't walk in the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the meek. We don't walk in that. What does the Bible say? That there's rewards in that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you're going to inherit the earth, then you don't have to worry about the cares of this world. God got you. Blessed are the pure in heart. You don't have to fake it till you make it, because the Bible says if you're pure in heart, you will see God, and then you only do what you see your Father doing. All of these things. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God, which means you won't be dealing with abandonment and rejection, because see how this works? That is preventative maintenance. And many times deliverance ministers get sabotaged because they're either overexerting themselves, trying to prove they have power because they got abandonment issues. They get up in pride because they have lack of meekness issues. These are preventative maintenance that if the Christian walks in these things, I'm just going to be bold enough to say this. You might not need 1,000 deliverances. You'll need maybe a couple, but you won't be in every altar call saying, cast it out of me, cast something out of me. No, you're walking in the fullness, leaning in Christ himself, not in piety. We don't do pietism here, because then this is works-based gospel. No, we're leaning in Christ, and in Christ empowers us to do these things that I mentioned, and therefore the devil has no thing in me that needs to be cast out.
So good. So good. I want to ask you, you know, it's 2024. I think you alluded to it in the beginning of the broadcast, is pornography is such a major thing right now. If you could identify in deliverances you've done, just your own experience, some open doors, like what are the most common open doors you see into people's life? Maybe ones that they don't realize. I'll start maybe, I guess, movies. I don't think people realize that movies are an open door, and entertainment, right? Let's just entertainment. Right. Is right. The first five letters is E-N-T-E-R, enter. Like, and right. Entertainment could open the door for demons to enter you. And people don't realize the movies we watch, music we listen to, can be, not as every single time, not always, but it can be an open door to demonic spirits. I'll tell you one that 1,000% is, horror movies. People watch horror movies and they're like, I don't know why I'm hearing voices. Now I don't know why I can't sleep. Now we have grown adults that are afraid of the dark. I'm going to tell you why. You opened up a spirit, and I know religious people are going to love this because they don't believe in any of this. You opened up a spiritual portal, a spiritual open door in the spirit realm for demons to come and enter into you. Doesn't matter if you go to church on Sunday. Well, I speak in tongues. If you're watching horror movies, you are opening yourself up to the spirit of fear and a bunch of other unclean spirits. And not only that, let's go a step farther. You're not even just opening yourself up. You're opening your whole family up. You're opening up wherever you're watching it at. You're opening up a door for demons to have legal rights over you. The right. Demons are always looking for a way into your life. If you don't know, the Come devil's on. An opportunist. He's searching for an open door. And we've, I think in this generation, we've made it so easy for him. And with the advent of this cell phone, it's every kid now has access. And let me just take a moment to rebuke the parents. Why does your 12-year-old even have one of these? Why does right. your 13-year-old or 10-year-old, like you have 9-year-olds on TikTok. Why is your 9-year-old scrolling on TikTok? Right. Why is your 12-year-old, you're opening up the gates of hell. Let me just say that. If your 10-year-old is on their YouTube or on their whatever, social media, or they have a cell phone, you're opening the gates of hell in your home and you're allowing evil spirits, let's just say Come what on. It is, that want to kill, K-I-L-L, if you didn't hear me right, kill your kids. They're going to do everything they can to destroy your kids, and you have to make sure that these doors don't get open or reopened in your family. Now, here's the thing. Some of you watching this right now, and you've already allowed your kids to watch whatever movies and do whatever. And it's hard, and Pagani, you know this, it's hard once you've already allowed certain movies in your house to now go back. It's easier to just say, right, we don't watch it in this house. But when you've already allowed it, now you have to go explain to your kids why you're no longer allowed to watch what I've been letting you watch for years. But tonight, I do believe this, and we're going to go into a time of prayer in a few minutes. I do believe some of you need to search your house, search your heart, talk to your family and say, we can't be watching these movies any longer. Hey, we have to fast forward. If you're fast forwarding half the movie, you shouldn't watch that movie. Okay, if you're having to constantly fast forward and mute and go through sex scenes in the movie, this is not a movie that we should be watching, right? I don't understand how parents will bring their kids into a movie and they're watching people fornicate and make out and do all these things on screen and you're sitting next to your child. Like, bro, what are we doing? You're opening the door.
And then we tell our children, close your eyes while we keep our eyes open.
Go ahead.
And another area to piggyback off of that, because I was going to say the same thing you was going to say, it's the ear gates as well. Yes. There's a lot of Christians that listen to secular music and, and it opens a gateway. This is the reason why music and movies go together. You know how boring a movie is without a soundtrack behind each scene? There's a reason why the music is there. The suspense leading to each scene is because the powerful element of sound. And you could sit here and say, oh, you're over-exaggerating. Listen, if it's not for Christ, it's open to the dark side, whether it's mildly or whether it's extreme. There's a lot of Christians, and they're going to fight me on this, and some of the viewers are going to fight me on it. I don't do secular. I don't buy secular. I don't buy it. Now, I'm not one of those, fundamentalists like that. If it's on, I'm like, turn off the TV. Like, no, I just don't listen to it. See what I'm saying? Yeah. It's inevitable. You can't stop it. It's all around you. But to sit here and I, am buying albums from artists who live godless lifestyles. Yep. I don't do that. I don't do that. And I don't even buy worship music from worship artists who live carnal lifestyles. I don't do it because I don't know what you were thinking when you wrote that song. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. So you have to guard your ear gates and your eye gates because they do open the door not only to worldliness, but it will open the door to the demonic. And then you find yourself in a whirlwind and in a whirlpool of demonic activity where you got shadows running up and down the hallways of your heart. But I believe for those that are watching tonight that the Holy Spirit of truth and sanctification is going to bring boldness and zeal and conviction. He's going to grip you and you're going to do a purging in your life itself because you can't, watch this, parents, you cannot remove the speck in your children's eye if you got a log in your own eye. So God is going to purge your log so that way you can begin to deal with all of the specks in Jesus' mighty name your home.
And I want to prove your point about the secular music. A lot of it is demonic. Guys, this is so easy to prove. Go watch any concert of the most popular celebrity musicians. They're all demonic. They all have some like demon imagery. They're wearing horns. They're doing some ritual. There's all red and black. Guys, it's all so in our face that if you don't agree with what we're saying, you're delusional. Like, bro, it's literally every big event is demonic now. Every Grammy event, we're not even shocked anymore. I'm like, I'm not making no more reaction videos. We already know if there's a Grammys, it's demonic. We already know if there's a music award, it's demonic. In fact, let's go further. The Dove Awards now. They have crazy people in the Dove Awards now. Some of these Christian artists are just as bad. They're just as bad with their fan clubs and their fangirls and their groupies at these Christian shows. I don't even want to go down that road because we could go long on that. My point is music is such a big thing with people. I don't know where it was. This was like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Whenever the song was popular, I think I was at the mall or I was somewhere. I heard that song and somebody told me what it was. I think it's Morgan Wallen. It talks about like something about letting the liquor talk. Something like you let the liquor talk last night. Whatever. It was a famous song. It probably still is. Who knows? It was about liquor talking. Bro, I heard that song one time at a store. I think it was the mall. It had to be the mall. That song was stuck in my
head, right?
Bro, I was driving home and my mind, it was like last night I forgot the words are. Y'all know. Act like you don't listen to it. But it was about letting the liquor talk. And I'm like, bro, in my mind, I heard the song one time. And now in my mind, I'm like, you let the liquor talk. I'm like, I haven't even drank liquor in 13 years. And somehow in my brain. But my point is, the power that music has to get stuck in your head. What do you want stuck in your head? Do you want script? I want scripture stuck in my head. I want the word of God stuck in my head. I want prayer stuck in my head. But instead, I listened to one time, the last night you let the liquor talk stuck in my head. It's crazy. It's crazy. But that is my point is, bro. Yeah, that's I don't want to age you here, but that's your generation's version. But you know what's crazy is, that's the power of music. Someone says a few years back. Yeah, that's the power of music, that it has the ability to get stuck in your head. It's the same with alcohol. It consumes you. You're under the influence. Guys, we have to be very careful. We're not allowing these things to lead us into sin, to open doors into our life. And it might not be, let's just say here, and then we're going to pray. It might not be that the music opens you to a demon, but it'll open you to actions that open you to a demon. How about that? Yeah. How about that? For those of you that are like, it's not going to open the door. Yeah, but when the songs about liquor and sex are stuck in your head, it triggers you and draws you to that lifestyle. Because if you're thinking about fornication and drinking and partying all day because it's the music you're listening to, it's only a matter of time before you start wanting that, before you start craving that. So let's just get rid of it. Like, I know these Christian stations are like, we're going to do 30 days. Forget about doing 30 days of only Christian music. How about the rest of your life? How about you say, for the rest of my life, I'm only listening to Christian music. Why? It goes back to how we started, because I want to live holy. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. And this music does not please God. And I have and guess what, guys? I have the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Ghost don't want to hear about liquor talking. The Holy Ghost don't want to hear no music like that. The Holy Ghost don't want to watch these demonic movies. Stop making the Holy Spirit listen to that music. He doesn't want to. Let's just cleanse it, purge it, and break free. Pagani, is there anything before I have you pray that you wanted to say that we missed? I know we missed probably 20 of the questions I sent you, but it was good. It was what was needed. I've been spamming the link to the book this entire time. Guys, order the book. Just order the book. It's amazing. It'll help change your life. I want you to pray a prayer of maintaining our deliverance, a prayer of just walking in freedom, and any doors that we have open that would just close in Jesus' name.
Okay, so I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would make those of you that are watching fall in love with Scripture again.
Come on.
When you fall in love with Scripture again, I have found that when we are spending sufficient time in the Word of God, we find we're spending less and less time on TikTok, or less and less time on listening to secular music, because the convicting power of the word. Now watch this. Why are you emphasizing so much on scripture? Very simple. Psalm 1 says this. Psalm 119 says this. How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So this is why, when we are spending less time in this, we're spending more time satisfying this. And we don't want this. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I am humbly praying that your children, including myself and Isaiah and everyone in the deliverance ministry, Lord, that we would fall more and more in love with your word, Lord, your holy written word, Father. Give us a hunger and a thirst to meditate on it, to read it, Lord, to quote it, Father, to believe it, Lord, to saturate ourselves with it, to listen to it in audio, Father, that we may surround ourselves with truth, Lord. Sanctify us through thy word. Thy word is truth, Father. So we are praying, Lord, Father, Lord, that there your word and the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we are asking you to sanctify us by your presence and lean us into Christ and lean us into you, where you may cleanse us by your power. Lord, forgive your people and forgive us for grieving you and quenching you, Lord. But from this day forward, Father, we will not grieve you. We will not, Lord, quench you, Lord. And at this moment, I'm praying, Lord, that you would reveal to us, Lord, reveal to all of us, Lord, whatever is in our home, in our lives, in our cars, in our families, in our rooms, in our phones, in our, you know, anything around us that is not pleasing to you, Holy Spirit, and convict us, Lord, and help us renounce it and cast it off, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, we dare not trust in our own strength. Lord, empower us, Lord, to walk a sanctified life, Lord. We depend totally on you, Holy Spirit. You are the maintainer of our deliverance. You are the revealer and the renouncer and the cleaner of our deliverance, Father, Holy Spirit. So we totally depend on you, Holy Spirit. Let us depend on Holy Spirit so we can walk in holiness. We love you, Holy Spirit. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your sufficiency on the cross paved the way for our freedom. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son Jesus to make all of this possible by dying for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. So good. Guys, let's make this the number one seller tonight. I'm going to show you guys a screenshot here really fast. Well, it's not even a screenshot. It's live, and I almost leaked my address, but hold on. Let me show you guys. See that? I already have the book, but I'm ordering it again. See that? Right there, okay? So go order it on Amazon right now. Let's make it a number one on all the categories. We can do it. The links are there. There's 1,000 of you on. I know it's debate, all of that. There probably would have been like 2,000-3,000, but hey, it's debate night. I get it. It's fine. This is better than the debate. Let's make this go to number one bestseller. The links are there. I think it's like, I don't know what, $15, $16, something like that on Amazon. Yeah. Guys, go check it out right now. The links are there. Pagani, is there anything else you want to say? Where can they find you? Where can they follow you? And then I'll do my little after show for a couple minutes.
Well, the moderators have been putting our YouTube on in the chat room. So as usual, you can find our book. It's set to be released October 1st, The Secrets to Maintaining Your Deliverance. It is the third installment to our Secrets to Deliverance book series. Well, we've already been number one. Your book right now is currently number one. So I would encourage those of you that are watching, go and get How to Cast Out Demons by Isaiah Saldivar. And also go get Vlad's book and
while
go get Mike
Singer's. While we're at it. I mean,
Come on, praise the Lord. You know, so I think at this point, there's no need to overpromote. They know where to find me. Guys, find me. You know where to go. Love all of you. And thank you for having me on.
Love you, bro. Thanks for still being my friend for so many years, even though I'm crazy.
Listen, all the way until Jesus comes.
Come on.
All the way until Jesus comes.
Love you, man.
Love you so much. Anybody say something against you, I got my knife in my
come
hand
on,
like
me
Peter.
Too.
Cut somebody's ear
me
off,
too.
Man.
Hey, how long, real quick, before I get you off, how long have you been growing that beard? Is Enoch living under there? Is Abraham living inside there? What's in there? That's
so
the anointing right there.
Okay, so believe it or not, my beard, believe it or not, it goes all the way down up to my belly button. It doesn't look like it now because it's kind of all woolly and I've been working around the house today. Stuff like that. I've been growing my beard for the last, I would say, maybe 10 years, around 2013.
That's crazy.
I got on a 40-day fast and I had just not gone to get a haircut. And the day that I went to go get a haircut after the 40-day fast, I literally heard the Holy Spirit to tell me to keep it growing, that he was going to use it as a distinction to be a sign of my consecration. So I ended up taking a self-imposed vow of the Nazarite, nothing spiritual, nothing spooky, which means I've dedicated myself. The word Nazarite means dedicated. When I dedicated myself to walk in true holiness, like that's what I've been doing.
Wow.
So I grow my beard as a result of my promise to God that I'm not going to be like the rest of these preachers living in sin. I'm going to walk this thing out. And I've been growing it for very, very, very long. And I'm not going to say that I would never cut it. You know, maybe one day I might cut it for charity or something like that. You know, should the Lord guide me to do that, to be a blessing to somebody, you know. But this is my consecration, the sign of my consecration. But truly, my consecration is in my heart. But this is...
That's awesome.
Right now, yeah, but I think if I ever cut it, I think I might lose my powers. I literally, like Samson. I literally might lose my powers.
I've been growing mine out for 12 hours, so I'm 12 hours in. We'll see how long it goes, but I love you, bro. Thanks for being on. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Blessings, bro. So fun, guys. Every time he's on, he's been on since episode 7, so yeah, I've had him on tons of times. He's a great friend. We talk, actually, literally every day we talk. Let's sow into his ministry. Let's sow into the word. Again, I know the numbers are low. I know it's a presidential debate, blah, 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 blah. Kamala Harris is probably talking about a coconut tree right now. Who knows? But sow into the ministry right now, pre-order the book, and then give a donation here. Let's bless his ministry. I'm going to send this finances to him. I want to make sure I always take care of my guests. We bring on people every week. We have another guest on next week that's amazing and powerful, but I don't just want to bring people on. I want to sow into them. So help me tonight. Whatever comes in, I'm going to be sending his way. You can give on the links here. There's not a lot of us, but even more the reason to sow, even more the reason to give. Okay. Everybody give something. Don't dine and dash. This isn't Denny's. Don't dine and dash. This is good. We went an hour and almost a half. And so we're going to keep going until 7:30. At 7:30, Jared and Candace are going to start worship and prayer on their channel. This will redirect you, and I will also get their link and post it in the comments, but they're going to be on their channel for prayer and worship. And I'll have the link here. Yeah, I just saved it. They'll be on their channel at 7:30. So we're going to be on for about 10 more minutes. Please give. I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. You already know. If you're new, pray about monthly partnering. You'll get all these perks, 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store, Monday partner call, all of that. The partner call likely will be moving to Thursday at 1:30 again, because I'm going to be going live 3 times a week again. Hey, summer's over. I'll be going live on Thursday at noon, plus Monday, plus Tuesday, plus uploading. It's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. And this weekend, I'm not going to post a flyer because we're already way over capacity, but you're here. So I'm going to tell you, I will be in Friday night, 7 p.m. The Gathering Place, Birmingham, Alabama. And then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll be at the Gathering Place, same place, Birmingham, Alabama. And then Sunday, listen closely. There's a lot of room in this building here. Dawsonville, Georgia, Christ Fellowship Church. This is the North, I believe it's called the North Georgia Revival, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Okay, so if you are in Georgia, if you're in Atlanta, don't cry next week and say, when are you coming to Georgia? I'm coming Sunday. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Sunday night, 6 p.m., Dawsonville, Georgia, North Georgia Revival. Just show up. The info's on my website, all right? Christ Fellowship Church. Don't tell me in 2 weeks, when am I coming to Georgia? This is my only time coming, probably in the next year. So do not start saying, like, when are you coming? You never come to Georgia. I'm coming to Georgia. I'm taking a long flight to Georgia this Sunday, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. Just be there. Be there or be square, all right? Come out Friday night, Birmingham, Saturday morning, Birmingham, Sunday morning, Georgia. Pray for your boy. I'm preaching 5 times in 2 days, or 3 days, 5 times in 3 days. Anyway, be praying for me. I'll come home Monday, and then I'll air one of the sermons on Monday night because I'm going to be tired and dead because I'm flying. And then we're going to have our podcast. We have a special, special guest I'll announce soon. Actually, I'll tell you, next week we have Jonathan Kahn on. Yay! And the crowd goes mild. We have Jonathan Kahn on next Tuesday talking about the dragon's prophecy. You already know when Jonathan Kahn's on, he's speaking another language. He's up in the heavenlies. He's deep, 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 deep. You don't want to miss Jonathan Kahn. It's going to be great. That's next Tuesday. We're doing a lot to bring you guys podcasts every week, and we're continuing just to grind and push and press. Amen. All right, give, 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 give. The links are there. We're going to stay on until 7:30, and then I'm going to go have dinner with my family. My kids go to bed at 8 o'clock, so I do get off here at 7:30, have dinner with them, and then put them to bed. And you can give. All the links are there. All the links are there. So do that as I read the chat. How did you guys like the stream tonight? I'm all fired up, y'all. I think I might have had a little bit of caffeine before this or something, because I'm like, whoo, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Yeah, Jonathan Kahn's no joke. Yes, the North Georgia Revival this Sunday. Pray for me. Pray for me. I have no other dates. I will be in Chicago at the Breakers Conference in October, and I'll be in Without Walls Church, Mesa, Arizona in January. That's it. I have no other dates for you. Where's Luna? She's running around somewhere. I'll bring her on stream soon. He's deep. Yeah, bring your scuba gear next Tuesday. We're going deep. Bring your scuba gear. Thank you, Faye. Someone said, what's mild? It's a joke. It's like when the crowd goes wild, the crowd goes mild. It's just a joke. Thank you, McKinley. Thank you, everyone giving on Venmo, Cash App, website, all of that. You keep us going. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You keep us going. I think we're having tacos tonight. Shout out to my wife, who's just, you know, a trad wife, a traditional wife, cooking dinner every night for the last 3 weeks. She's on a roll. Shout out to her. Doing all the wife stuff. Stop saying you work for your salvation. It's faith and that's it. Who said you work for your salvation? You don't work for your salvation. You work from salvation. Amen. Friday night isn't sold. I don't know what you mean, but just show up. There's no tickets. When are you going to do podcast in the casting room again? I don't know what you mean by casting room. You're talking about the studio? We are working on a new studio setup, so it'll be some time, but the book coming out. Oh, yeah. Go pre-order my book. I know you guys are sick of hearing about it, but it don't matter. You're going to keep hearing about it until it comes out. Go check out my book on Amazon, How to Cast Out Demons. This is a big deal, guys. I've 13 years been saying I'm going to write a book, and I finally did. 250 pages, so it's a big deal for me. I thought you died. Why'd you think I died? I'm alive and well, brother. I've been live for the last 5 years. Taco Tuesday? Oh, yeah. Oh, the studio? Okay, you said the casting room, but you meant the studio. What's happening Friday? I'll be preaching in Birmingham, Alabama, Friday night. Is anybody watching the debate? I'm gonna click on and see what's going on with this. Is it just a complete joke? Let's see. I know everyone's watching. I went live the same time as the debate, so that's on me. They're debating right now. Let's see. Oh, I can't with a straight face. Trump's face. Are you guys watching this? I can't keep a straight face. I'm sorry, but Kamala Harris is a joke. You heard it here first. I just have to say it. Joe Biden's a joke. Kamala Harris is a joke. Cat's out of the bag. Cancel me. They've already canceled me like 90 times. I honestly don't care. She's a baby killer. Joe Biden's a baby killer. That's all I have to say. Would you ever come to Alaska? Maybe. She's getting deep fried. Yeah. Listen, if I didn't know the debate was tonight, I would not have been opposed to watching it on stream. I don't do politics. You guys know I'm not political, but I would not have been opposed to watching on stream. It could have been funny. I don't know. No, anybody that's for the murder of babies, especially full term, they're demons. Sorry. She's a demon. I don't know. What do you want to say? She wants babies to be murdered. She's literally a demon. Again, so is Joe Biden. Anyone that stands for that, demon. And just because I'm saying that, don't be like, well, Trump, this. I'm not even saying anything about Trump. I'm just talking about her and Joe Biden. All right. Jared and Candace will be going live here in a couple minutes. So this is where we're going to be. Let me give you the link. In like 2 minutes, we're going to be here. There's the link. These people just, yeah, they're just so fake. Like every time she talks, it's so fake. I don't know how anybody could even vote for her. It blows my mind. Blows my mind. There's no way you could stand for what they stand for and not be demonized. 1,000%. Do you watch Jared after your stream? Yes, I jump in there. When you go in live with Pastor Greg Locke? I'm not sure. I don't think he wants to do a live right this moment. Hold on, let me open the debate really quick. Let's just see what's going on here. Let me mute this. Let's just see what's going on here. Let's just get a little taste. Say.
I have concepts.
Oh, wait, it's not working. Where's my speakers? Let's see. Yeah, I'm not putting this on. This is boring. I don't trust any of these politicians. None of them. I don't trust any of them. Don't worry, we're not going to watch it. Chill out. We're not watching the debate. I don't trust none of them. The only one I trust is Jesus. Jesus is who I'm voting for. Amen. Do you read donations off stream? Yes. Thank you for the Cash App. Thank you for the Venmo. Thank you for the PayPal. Thank you for the website donations. I appreciate it. Love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Jared and Candace will be going live in a moment, and we will put an ending screen up. I'll watch the highlights, but I don't trust none of them. What do you guys think? I don't know. It's all very slimy to me. Oh, yeah, of course, they hate Trump. They hate Trump. We already know that. We already know that. It's good you're still going strong. We're 5 years in. Next year will be 6 years, our start of our sixth year. 2,000 videos. Praise the Lord. By his grace only. Trust me, I'm just taking it one day at a time, y'all. Almost at episode 200. We're going to have to do something special for episode 200. What do you think about high schoolers fasting? I think it's great. Trump is funny. I agree. I love his bluntness. I don't know how else to be. Are you talking about me or Trump? These are the biggest water bottle. These are the biggest water bottles. These are the biggest water bottles known to man. Look how big this is. I got a big head. That's a big water bottle. I opened this up in the prayer call the other day and spilled it all over myself during the prayer call. I was laughing. There's no sound? What do you mean? Oh, I'm not watching the debate. I'm not putting it on. I turned it off right away. They were talking about coconut trees. I don't know. Trump is, but yes, you too, Isaiah. Oh, okay. Thanks. 130 pounds. All right, guys. Here's the thing. I'm not 130 pounds anymore. I haven't told you guys this, but I've actually gained in the last week and a half, I've gained 10 pounds. It's true. Okay. I've been drinking these high calorie shakes because I was only eating like 300 calories a day and I was losing weight. And I've been taking these high calorie shakes. I've been eating. I've been working out every day. I've gained 10 pounds. I think I weighed 142 a week and a half ago. And right now I weigh 153. What is it? 11 pounds. So your boy's gaining weight. All right. For all of you Italian moms that kept saying, when are you going to gain weight? I'm gaining weight. All right. But I'll still say I'm 130 pounds because it's just, you know, it's the saying. Glad to see someone else isn't talking about the debate. Yeah, I tried turning on for 2 seconds, but it's a joke. But yeah, Harris was talking and hurting my ears. All right, Jared and Cancer live with prayer and worship. We need prayer and worship in America. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. We'll see you guys very, very soon. I'll see you in Alabama and Georgia. Georgia, North Georgia Revival, Sunday, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then Alabama, Friday night and Saturday morning to the afternoon. Love y'all. Thank you for donating and partnering. What a great stream. God bless. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.